It's a pleasure, I'm John Batchelor, to welcome Congressman Thaddeus McCotter, a candidate for the Republican nomination for the presidency in 2012, to my studio tonight. Mr. McCotter, what a treat and a very good evening to you. I begin immediately with the concerns of the nation. 15th straight week of unemployment claims above 400,000. At the same time, we are given a statistics from Bloomberg that is inferentially alarming. The month of June saw the credit card companies see a 10% spike in the use of credit cards for food and fuel. They've never seen anything like that before. They called it dramatic. What we have here is a nation that is still staggered by the housing bubble collapse in 2008 and the Great Recession and is not in any way confident. Your state of Michigan has suffered with some of the worst unemployment. It is above 10%. At the same time, it's seeking to repair the manufacturing base of Detroit and the car company. Right now, what needs to be done for the United States to get us back to work? Good evening, Thaddeus.
Well, clearly, John, one of the things that has to happen is a fundamental restructuring of the government. As you know, the welfare state that we've inherited from Lyndon Johnson and Jimmy Carter and now Barack Obama is imploding around us, and it's helping to stifle the creative and industrious aspects of the American people who will grow this economy. We also have to fundamentally restructure the failed Wall Street bailout banks because, as you know, it's very difficult for credit to flow. We're not getting that down to Main Street, down to the people who are going to have the new startups, the small businesses, the backbone of this economy actually start growing.
And in shaping the economy for the future, right now, we've had 2.5 years of the Obama administration stimulus package. It's very extravagant spending, trying to get people back to work. It looks like it has not worked. The talk in Washington is we need another stimulus package. Mr. Bernanke did not rule out a QE3. That is not, at this point, promising, but it is possible. How do you regard Mr. Bernanke?
I think the mistake he's making is he made his reputation off of writing about how people were wrong in addressing the Great Depression. I'm wondering who's going to be writing the books addressing how he's been wrong about dealing with the Great Recession.
Yes. Mr. Bernanke just teased QE3. That's not a confirm. Now, what's on everybody's mind is getting back to work. I'm told, Congressman, that the White House at this point believes that by settling the debt limit negotiations in Washington, by restoring the debt limit, raising the debt limit, by avoiding the crisis on August 2nd, that will push America back to hiring again. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it's the same type of logic we saw with the Wall Street bailout. When we were told the world was going to end, it was an economic Armageddon. If the taxpayers did not bail out the Wall Street banks, that had failed, and yet we still see no credit flowing down to the entrepreneurs and the startups. We still see a stagnation economy, and I think that they're making the same mistake in terms of expecting that even addressing the debt ceiling is going to somehow stimulate economic growth when you have issues with the federal government that are far larger than that in sense of the policies that are coming forward like Obamacare, when you start talking about more stimulus down the road, when you start talking about more government, or a government that thinks it can shape the foundations of the American economy, you're going to continue to see people hunker down and not wish to expand, even if they could, even if the credit were to start flowing. You need to address both.
All right. Your candidacy is about the future. As a president of the United States, your job is to inspire people. What needs to happen now for the people to be inspired? We're so beaten down. We're so defeatist right now because of the sluggishness of the economy, because of the anxiety created in Washington with these endless negotiations.
I think the American people need to be reminded that nothing is more important and nothing is bigger than them. A lot of people in the past, because we've seen our large institutions, the big banks and big government, act as if ordinary working Americans were somehow less important than they were. I think the reality is we have to remind these institutions that they work for the American people and that the American people are sovereign and they are the ones who are in charge here. Look, we saw with the Reagan recovery in the past is when you get big government and big institutions back under control, when you start to allow the individual, the American citizen, to shape the economy, to pursue their prosperity, I think you'll see unprecedented prosperity in this country. I think you'll see an unprecedented era for the country.
The debt negotiation talks, I mentioned them in. They're always in the news. Tonight, we're given some incompletes. Right now, it feels like Groundhog Day, Congressman. All the time, we get, again, stalemate, walk away, accusations from both sides. Harry Reid has called Speaker Boehner's plan a non-starter. Harry Reid is said to be working on a plan, this is the Senate Majority Leader, that will have about $2.7 trillion of cuts, no entitlements, no taxes, but there's no clarity about where the cuts will come. John Boehner is working on what is called a phased plan, which will move the story without taxes. At this point, it looks like both sides are well dug in their position. The Democrats, however, puzzle me, only because they've never come forward with any significant cuts. There have never been any detail. Why are they holding back?
Well, the Democrats have a posture, not a plan. I think that you're seeing this. They know what they don't like, but they certainly aren't putting forward what they do like. And as Republicans, what we've done is we've had a bipartisan vote in the House for cut, cap, and balance, as you know, John. Now Speaker Boehner and others are trying to figure out how we can come up with another bipartisan plan that somehow the Senate might find acceptable. I think it's kind of irresponsible on the part of this administration and the part of Senator Reid to all of a sudden decide that they're going to start looking at putting forward a plan that can be a basis for measurement by the American people. But this is nothing new from them.
The President of the United States, it looks like he's already in the campaign mode. He was making gestures last week that were very clearly about what is called class warfare. He was making accusations that were not substantive at all, actually accusing the Speaker of the House walking away, almost acting in bad faith. Is the president at this point up to his job? He seems more partisan than he does a man waiting for a bill from the Congress.
Well, I think clearly the country realizes this being neither led nor governed by a president that, again, would rather posture than put forward a plan, that would rather work constructively. Or certainly, John, would heed the will of the people as expressed in the 2010 election, that they understand government has to be changed, it has to be restructured. So I think that the president finds himself in a very difficult position. It's the fact that everything he's known and believed in his entire political life has failed and will continue to fail. It's something most of us our age, I'm roughly the same age as the president, learned watching Jimmy Carter fail repeatedly.
Manufacturing. It's very important. We talk about it all the time. The American manufacturing jobs are the weakest, and that's a part that the president and the Obama administration has concentrated on, but it's not working. Manufacturing is something you know very well in Detroit. What has to happen to get the manufacturing jobs down back here? Because if those jobs come, then the retail jobs, then the consumers work again.
Well, first, you have to look at the predatory trade practices of countries like communist China that are deliberately cheating in the trade area and undermining our manufacturing base in the United States, both as a prosperity matter and as a strategic interest on their part. Secondly, we know that it is capital intensive in manufacturing. So in addition to tax reform, regulatory reform, you also have to have credit flowing from restructuring of the Wall Street banks that have failed. And finally, what we also have to look at in terms of manufacturing is that the country needs to understand that it is both a prosperity matter and a security matter to have a manufacturing base here in the United States. When the president talks about things such as raising CAFE standards yet again, or talks about cap and trade, this is not only going to impair the ability of manufacturing to provide jobs, it's going to impair the concept of peace through strength because we won't have the domestic ability to manufacture armaments if necessary.
I want to speak to manufacturing because it involves so many of the decisions made over these last years, good and bad. Detroit's manufacturing was helped by the TARP money from the Bush administration and then the TARP money from the Obama administration and then the bailout, the quick Chapter 11. If that had not all happened, would we have lost the manufacturing jobs in Detroit? Is that the disaster that would have followed?
Well, it wasn't just Detroit, John. It would have been the manufacturing chain throughout the United States. That's why you saw the transplant companies supporting it. That's why you saw people up and down the supply chain supporting it, because had that happened, America as a manufacturing country would have been reduced to essentially a second or third class status. Now, I know that some people have no difficulty with that in their worldview, but I do think that there's a problem when a communist nuclear-armed dictatorship named China becomes the world's manufacturing giant.
I want to mention manufacturing only because I understand the 11th commandment, Republicans do not speak against Republicans. But Congressman, it is not incidental and it is often used as a biography background of the leading candidate for the Republican nomination, Mitt Romney, that when he was in private equity, when he ran Bain Capital, he was at the center of a lot of leveraged buyouts that transferred manufacturing jobs from the United States to overseas, such as China. Is that a factor in the nomination process right now? Is that an issue that needs to be addressed?
Well, I think it will be when you're running to be the jobs candidate. What needs to be shown is what you did to the jobs of the people who you had employed. And when you start to see not only the outsourcing of the jobs that occur, but when you start to see management fees and the millions of dollars taken for companies that you ran into the ground and cost workers their pensions, cost workers their health care benefits, and left them to fend for themselves, I don't think that that's the type of record that necessarily equates to anything more than you making money as opposed to us having prosperity.
Last week, I talked to Bloomberg News. It did a report on Mitt Romney's record as a leveraged buyout leader, a man who was very successful. And one of the concerns of Bloomberg was to be able to tally up jobs gained and jobs lost. It was not able to. We're talking about tens of thousands of jobs lost, but it could not come up with a final number. I think if the campaign of 2012 turns on jobs, that's an important discussion. I hope we have it. That is, our manufacturing jobs have been lost because for 20 years, our financial wizards have seen fit to enliven their own pockets by transferring our manufacturing to China.
Yes, they've made millions dismantling America.
Thaddeus McCotter, Congressman Thaddeus McCotter of 11th Michigan, is a candidate for the Republican nomination for the presidency. I'm John Batchelor.